Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks. Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it's about 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. This is program 366 in the series. It's March 2nd. It's Saturday night. And to my right, Lisa Wolf, the vivacious one. What's up, Lisa?
Hi. It was nice to be missed on Sunday.
Yeah, welcome back.
I listened, though.
Nice tan.
It was a lot of things. Thank you. I'm feeling
Did you ever even see the sun at all out
I
there?
I did. I swam and hung out at the pool, but...
How thick of the suntan lotion did you have on?
Very.
What number? 98?
Oh, the highest one. That's the
very
one I get.
Very highest one. Yeah. Lisa likes the sun. She just never experiences it.
That's right. My skin doesn't anyway.
All right. Well, welcome back,
Thank
Lisa.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
We have three classic radio shows. Now, a little different lineup because the Blackhawks are playing tomorrow. How dare they take our time slot?
And if you're ever not sure, I always update our Facebook page. So check it out on WGN Radio Theater Facebook page. We've got our final updated schedule for tonight. And unfortunately, we will not be on the air tomorrow night.
We're preempted. So we took three of the five shows and mishmashed them into Saturday. So we're going to start things off with the Mole Mystery Theater from 1946. Then it's Fibber McGee and Molly from 1942. And then we'll conclude with Have Gun, Will Travel, 1959 broadcast. So that's our lineup. We'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning. Then we're off tomorrow. We'll be back next week.
Right.
That's how it works. But right now it's time to play our game, Cat's Pride. Is it real or is it ridiculous? Ridiculous.
Yes.
Who is the celeb?
The celebrity is Jim Carrey.
All right.
And the prize will be a Lou Malnati's gift card.
Wow.
So can't beat that.
All right. Call 312-981-7200. What caller would you like?
Caller 4.
Call right now. 312-981-7200. We'll be right back.
Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous.
All right. It's time to get ridiculous.
Let's do it. We got Jimmy on the phone. Hey, Jimmy.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Terrific. We're going to do a little Jim Carrey, and Carl is your lifeline, so we'll see how that works out for you. Okay, number one. When he was 10, he mailed his resume to the Sonny and Cher show with the hopes of landing a job on the program. Is that real or ridiculous?
Ridiculous.
Carl?
I think that sounds real to me.
Well, you're going to go with real?
I'm going to go with real.
It's ridiculous.
What?
But he did do that to the Carol Burnett show. That's how I got to that one. It definitely was not the Sonny and Cher show. Where's your sound effects, Carl? He's a little behind the gun here. Wah, wah for Carl.
Wah, for me.
And for Jimmy, yay.
I had dinner with Sonny Bono.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Was he most interesting?
He was awesome.
Wow. I would find that very interesting. All right. You keep looking, Carl. We're going to go on to number two.
All right.
He wrote a children's book in 2013 called I Am Famous. Is that real or ridiculous?
I'm going to say real on that one.
I'm going with Jimmy.
Even though he isn't.
I'm going with Jimmy.
It is ridiculous.
Oh, man.
He did write a children's book, but it's called How Roland Rolls.
I'll tell you what, she's very sneaky.
Oh, come on. Don't blame this on me just because you don't know your stuff. Number
three. I think she stole my sound effects machine.
I would never do that.
She's an Indian giver. She gave it to me and took it back.
Because I wanted it so badly. I could probably learn how to use the ones at WGN, just saying. Number three, he was.
They have Jimmy, you should see this place. There's like a billion buttons here. It's like I can't fit.
Why don't you just choose one and see what happens? There's like three buttons I know how to push.
But there's a whole sound effects.
That's right.
A whole sound effects thing here that I wouldn't even begin.
Why don't you just choose one and see how it works out for you?
I don't even want to try.
Number three, he was a cast member on Saturday Night Live for 1 year in 1996. Real or ridiculous?
That sounds real.
Yeah, I'm going with Jimmy.
You should not go with Jimmy. That is not real. I made that up. Jimmy got one right. Carl got
zero.
Wah.
I got all of them wrong.
You got all of
I'm off to a great start.
Carl got all of them wrong. He's so good at that.
I stink
Jimmy,
at this game.
You got one right. And either way, you're a winner. You've won a Lou Malnati's gift certificate for $25. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's very best deep dish pizza, our personal favorite here at WGN Radio Theater. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumelnatis.com. And now you know just not to use Carl as a lifeline.
No, don't.
There you go.
Take care. Thanks, Jimmy. Much.
Take care, buddy. Have a good one. All right, Jimmy is a big winner. Won a Lou Malnati's pizza. We have a text in line, folks. We're going to be here till 2 o'clock in the morning, so you have plenty of opportunity to text us at 312-981-7200. We love getting your texts.
We have gotten so many texts with people asking the exact same thing to see if we would be podcasting our show tomorrow night.
No.
That won't be on, and we will not be doing that.
No.
I am sorry. You'll have to miss us, but we promise we'll be back Saturday
Lisa's
night, 11
too expensive
o'clock.
To just come in to do a podcast. She charges way too much money for her services.
Yeah, it's although I can be bought. That's
can't
for certain.
Afford it.
Oh, yes, you can.
So there's no show tomorrow,
Carl
folks.
Can afford me.
No, can't.
Yes, you can.
Can't do it.
Can.
All right. Well, it's time now for the Mole Mystery Theater. This was a really cool mystery show. It was sponsored by Sterling Drugs, the makers of Mole Shave Cream, the shave cream you use on your whiskers.
Oh, yes. I use it daily.
Yeah. I mean, it's
so I keep
12
my soft
o'clock
skin.
Shave there you need.
Yep.
It was came to radio in 1943, and the host was Jeffrey Barnes, and that was sort of a pseudonym of Bernard Lenro. He was a supporting actor, and he played Jeffrey Barnes, a crime fiction expert and connoisseur. Came to New York radio in 1943, and some of the best supporting actors on the show, Joseph Julian, Richard Widmark, Frank Lovejoy, Ann Seymour, Raymond Edward Johnson. The series was billed as the best in mystery and detective fiction, lasting until 1951. So this is a broadcast called Follow That Cab, and the host is Bernard Lenro, who is Jeffrey Barnes on this show. April 19th, 1946, part one of the Mole Mystery Theater.
And now the Mole Mystery Theater. Presented by M-O-L-L-E. Mole, the heavier brushless shaving cream for tender skins.
Good evening. This is Jeffrey Barnes, welcoming you to the program that presents the best in mystery and detective fiction. Tonight we bring you a rollicking comedy mystery written by Sid and Larry Sloan and entitled Follow That Cab. In it, you're going to meet a couple of very strange detectives, Moe and Julius, taxi drivers who spend all their time between calls reading detective stories. This, in their own opinion, qualifies them as expert detectors. And when they attempt to apply their knowledge to the solution of a murder, they get some rather startling results.
You mean they catch the murderer red-handed, Mr. Barnes?
Well, I can't tell you that, Dan.
Okay, but I can tell you, as well as our men listeners, that when a fellow gets caught red-faced and sore right after shaving, it's probably cause he's got wiry whiskers or a tender skin. So he needs Mole, the heavier brushless shaving cream. Yes, sir, with Mole, it's smooth. So smooth. It's slick. So slick. It's a smooth, smooth, slick, slick shave you get with M-O-L-L-E. Mole, the heavier brushless shaving cream for tender skins. That's right. Mole is the shaving cream that's heavier, the cream that's right for a wiry, hard-to-cut beard or tender skin. Because Mole is heavier, it not only softens your whiskers, it stands them up straight and lets your razor whisk them off. So you shave faster, closer, easier, and you shave painlessly with Mole, the heavier brushless shaving cream for tender skins. Mole. And now for tonight's Mole mystery, Follow That Cab.
Thank you. Maybe you were reading in the papers about them two hack drivers, Julius and Moe, which is solving this here Larkin murder. Well, I am personally acquainted with these two characters very well. As a matter of fact, I am one of them, Moe. You see, Julius is all the time reading a magazine called Absolutely Authentic True Crime Fiction, in which is running a series by the name Daniel Dare More Detective, which is our ideal. Now, on the day in question, Julius and me is parked in a hack stand at 55th and 6th, waiting for a fare. And I am standing with my foot on his running board while he is reading AATCF.
Then a dark, furtive man climbs into the cab.
Yeah, go on, Julius.
Driver, he whispers hoarsely, urgently. Driver, follow that cab.
What's the matter, Julius?
Mo, how many years you been driving a hack?
My wife's appendix, 11 years.
Me, I've been pushing one for 9. So?
So what?
It says here in black and white that the dark, furtive man is saying, driver, follow that cab. Did a guy ever say that to you, Mo?
Gee, you're right, Julius. You got a head full of brains.
You know what, Mo? If I had the chance, I could be a private dick like this here Daniel Damore and this here man.
Yeah, I bet you could, Julius. You're smart. Smarter than Daniel Damore.
Oh, I would not go so far as to say that, Mo.
I would. Julius, you are a genius.
maybe. But you know, Mo, I could make with the clues and the fingerprints.
Yeah, fingerprints.
Just give me a chance, Mo. Just give me a chance. I'd show him.
Can I go with you on your cases, Julius?
Sure, Mo. All good dicks has got stooges.
Yeah, gee, Julius, you're a real pal.
Follow that cab. Oh, it just ain't done, Mo. It never happens.
Driver, follow that cab.
Huh?
I said follow that cab. Hurry.
Yes, sir.
Bye, Julius.
We're falling is pulling into the curb in front of that apartment building.
Stop. Stop right behind him.
Yes, sir. Hey, look. The guy in the cab is running into the building.
He's not going to get away from me.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What about my fare?
I followed you in my cab. What happens? What's the deal?
It's murder. That's what it is, murder.
Murder?
Yeah, that big so-and-so is running off into that building without paying the tab. And I'm going in there and collect. Come on. Yeah.
Julius.
Mo, that was a shot ringing out.
A real shot?
Yeah. Come on, something is going on in there.
Open the door.
There's the guy who was in my cab. Come on, Mo.
Yeah, right with you, Julius.
Come on, Mo.
Come on, please, open up.
Hey, you.
Someone's been shot in this apartment.
Shot? How do you know?
Oh, I heard it, Julius, didn't you?
Shut up. I ain't asking you. I'm asking this gent here.
Oh.
Okay, mister?
I was trying to get into this apartment when I heard a shot fired inside.
Oh, you was trying to get in, hey? Besides jumping taxi fares, you're also a burglar.
No, you don't understand.
Hey, Julius, the door is open.
What? It was closed. Oh, just a minute ago. I tried it.
A likely story.
Julius, if the door's open, why don't we go in and see what goes?
Don't rush me. Come on. Well, everything looks okay in here. Holy mackerel. A corpse, Mo. A corpse.
Yeah, and dead, too.
It's Larkin.
Say, how come you know his name?
I was associated with him.
And he was the guy you was following in my cab.
Julius, look, he's got something in his hand, a dead corpse.
Get it, Mo.
No, you get it, Julius. I don't want to touch no stiffs.
A fine assistant you were going to make, afraid of stiffs. Get it.
Okay. It's a piece of paper.
Give me it.
Yeah, sure, Julius. Here.
Been trying to see you for weeks. You can't brush me off any longer. You stole Joan away from me. Signed, Boynton. What's your name?
Boynton. I wrote that note.
This is very serious.
I get it all now, Julius. This guy
here... I told you before, Mo, I am running this here investigation. Now, the way I see it, you two guys is in love with a lady by the name Joan.
But Joan isn't a lady.
Now, look here, buddy. Leave her mortality out of this.
Please. Joan is the name of a song I wrote which Larkin stole from me. I tried to see him to get what belonged to me, but he wouldn't let me in his office. You see, he's a song publisher.
So you knocked him off to get even, huh?
Julius, leave us call the cops.
You're not going to turn me in. I didn't do it.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. Maybe you didn't. Suppose we was to let you go, Boynton.
Then you believe?
You can't do this, Julius.
I'm doing it.
Thank you. I didn't kill Larkin, but I'd have a terrible time trying to prove I did.
Just a minute, Boynton, before you go, just for the record. Where do you live?
Live?
Yeah, we gotta know, just for the record, you know.
Oh, 709 East 78th Street.
Take that down in the notes, Mo.
Notes? What notes?
Take it down.
Oh, okay, Julius, I got it.
All right, Boynton, go on, beat it.
Thanks.
But, Julius...
Shut up, wait till he gets outside.
Julius, we're going to get into all kinds of trouble letting that guy go. He done it.
I know, Mo. I know he is knocking off this body here. But if we turns him into the cops, what's in it for us? Nothing. If, on the other hand, this case is a mystery, no one knows who done it, the cops is baffled, and then we are solving it from the clues.
What clues?
Think of the tabloids with my picture on the front page. Heroic Hackie solves case which is baffling entire police force. Think of it. Go on, think.
I'm thinking, but I'm worried.
Don't worry, we got this address, ain't we? I think of them things. Now we gotta find some clues.
Clues? What for? We know Boynton's done it. You said so yourself.
Of course I said so, but that ain't the way a good detective works. It'd be like reading the back of the book first. We gotta show the cops we solved this here case legitimate. We gotta start at the beginning.
With fingerprints?
Correct. Now, I just happen to have here in my pocket my little nifty knick-knack fingerprint detecting kit.
Oh, did you write away for one of them? I seen the ad, too, in the magazine. 49 cents covers postage and handling.
Yeah, just the same as the G-Man uses.
For 49 cents?
Well, nearly as good. Now, let me see. That bottle there on the table.
This one with the liquor
don't
in it?
Don't touch it. I don't want you should smudge the prints, understand? I will take care of that bottle.
Oh, yeah, sure, Joyce.
Now, I just blow a little of this powder on the bottle to make the fingerprint show up. Hey, look. What did I tell you? Fingerprints.
Gee, real ones.
Now I need a clean white handkerchief to wrap around the bottle right there. Now?
Julius, you're drinking the evidence.
Don't be a jerk. The evidence is on the outside of this here bottle.
Oh.
It's not bad stuff. Now look, wipe the rest of the things off in this room, doorknobs and other things.
Yeah.
We got the evidence now. We don't want the cops should get it, too. This'll make it baffling.
Yeah.
Now, let me see. I wonder... Holy mackerel.
What goes, Julius?
My meter in my cab. I forgot to pull the flag. The meter's still running.
Oh, wait a minute, Julius. Where are you going?
I gotta turn off the meter.
Well, I'm coming with you.
Stay there. I'll be right back. Holy mackerel, look at that meter, $1.65.
Is this your cab?
Yeah, lady, but...
I want to go to Grand Central Station, hurry.
Yeah, but lady, I'm busy.
Oh, didn't I see you cancel the meter just now?
Yeah, but...
Then you're not busy anymore. Come on, I'm in a hurry.
No, lady, you'll have to get out of the cab. I ain't driving you no place.
Look, how would you like to lose your license?
I wouldn't.
Listen, I've hired you to drive me. If you refuse, you can lose your license. I'll report you.
Okay, don't get yourself in an uproar, lady. I'll take you. Okay, Grand Central Station.
Come on, this is the place.
I think maybe it was a false alarm, Sarge. Some crank hearing shots.
Well, we'll soon find out. Here, this is the apartment.
Is that you, Julius?
Stay right where you are.
What? Cops?
Yeah, and what are you doing here?
Me?
Yeah, stay right where you are. Don't make no false moves. Come into the apartment, Mike. Shut the door.
Okay, Bill.
Hey, take a look at that.
That's Larkin. He's dead.
Yes, I see he is. Brother, you got plenty of explaining to do. Start talking.
Lisa, you got a lot of splaining to do.
Splaining, all right.
Start talking. All the bad guys talk like that. You got a lot of splaining to do.
Yeah. It's a requirement.
All right, that's the first portion of the Mole Mystery Theater. More after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
I want to clarify something. I did find my sound effects machine. Lisa did not take it.
So I have it.
You did not take it away from me. Thank you, Lisa.
Oh, good. I'm so glad I didn't steal it from you.
It was in my bag, like tucked away under there.
Although you did accuse me of stealing it from you.
I take back what I said.
Do you apologize for it as well?
I apologize. I apologize, Lisa. Please forgive me.
I will. I'll forgive you.
All right. So I'll get to use this thing.
Oh, good. Next time you give a wrong answer, which will be very soon.
Yeah. All right, it's time now for the conclusion to the Mole Mystery Theater.
Now back to Jeffrey Barnes and Act Two of Follow That Cab.
Mo and Julius, taxi drivers and would-be detectives, having apparently caught a murderer red-handed, let him go so they can solve the case by the clues. Having wiped away all the fingerprints to make the case more baffling, Mo is left alone with the corpse, all unaware that Julius is not coming back. And now the police have arrived on the scene and confront Mo.
Well, buddy, what have you got to say for yourself?
For myself? Nothing. Don't look at me. I didn't do it.
Yeah, that's what they all say.
Frisk him, Bill. See if he's got the murder weapon on him.
He ain't got nothing on him.
I'm being framed.
What did you do with the gun, buddy?
It ain't here. I just been looking for it. It ain't here.
Oh, it ain't. Hey, Bill, careful how you touch those things. Might be fingerprints, you know.
There ain't no fingerprints either.
Oh, no? And why do you say that?
Because I wiped.
Because you wiped them. Go on, as you were saying.
I wasn't saying nothing. Where's Julius? Where is he?
You was gonna say you wiped him off, right?
Where's Julius? He said he's coming right back.
One false move out of you and I'll let you have it.
You really think I've done it?
Who else? You look mighty suspicious.
I didn't do it. Brighton's done it. Brighton, I tell you.
Yeah, well, tell that to O'Brien.
O'Brien?
Yes, buddy. He's chief of the Homicide Bureau. And you're under arrest for murder.
So, they are taking me to see Inspector O'Brien. At first, I won't talk because I remember what Julius says about how we are going to solve the case our own selves and get famous. But finally, I am realizing that instead of getting famous, I am getting a hot seat if they can pin the murder on me. So they throw me in the cell, and the next morning, about 10 a.m.
Julius! Hello, Mom. You know what day this is?
Huh?
This is Visitor's Day.
Oh.
You got just 5 minutes, mister.
Mo, why did you do it?
Do what, Julius?
You don't have to pretend now, Mo. You can tell me. I'm your friend.
I don't get it, Julius. What?
Mo, crime does not pay. Why did you do it?
Do what?
We know you done it, Mo. Confess and things will go easier with you.
Confess?
Come. My patience is getting exhausting, my friend. You know you murdered Larkin.
Murdered Larkin? Julius!
Don't make me put you through the third degree, my friend.
Julius, are you crazy? You was with me when it happened. What are you trying to do with me? You know what happened.
That's
Practicing? For what?
You know the way Daniel Damore, once he gets a crook in a corner, how he starts to make with a third degree and busts him down?
Oh, that. You didn't have to do that to me, Julius. I didn't do it. You had me scared for a minute.
Did I?
Well, Julius, you got to get me out of here.
Don't worry, my friend. That little matter has just been taken care of. I turned in the evidence to Chief O'Brien.
You mean the bottle of whiskey with the fingerprints?
The empty bottle with the fingerprints.
Yeah, the empty bottle. Oh, I give O'Brien Boynton's address.
Then you were in the clean. The cops will pick up Boynton, and I will be in the tabloids as the guy which cracked this case open. Ah, here comes Chief O'Brien to let you out now. Hi, Opie.
You say a man named Burton gave you this address, 709 East 78th Street?
Yeah, officer, that's right. That's where he lives.
Did you make the pinch, chief? You got him, huh?
We checked that number. It's the middle of the East River.
What?
Maybe he moved.
Oh, Mo, the rat is giving you the double cross.
Julius, ain't they gonna let me out of here?
Just a minute, Mo. I'll do my best for you. Look, chief, this man is not guilty. What about the fingerprints on the empty bottle I turned into you?
Oh, yes, that's another thing. We've checked that, too.
It's Boynton's.
No.
It ain't Moe's.
No. It belongs to the man who's going to burn for Larkin's murder.
Whose prints is it?
Yours.
Mine? What do you know? I took my own prints.
Come in, you two. Sit down.
Yes.
I suppose you are bringing me in here to your office because the entire police force is baffled, huh, Chief? I knew yous would have to come
get
to me.
Get your big feet off of my desk.
Sure. Don't get excited. Say, what's all this here stuff on the table, Chief?
Oh, that's some odds and ends we picked up in the lock and apartment. Keep your hands off that stuff.
All right. Clues, huh?
They might be. Stay away from it. You've done enough damage already.
Yeah, enough damage already.
You know, you two boys are lucky. Very lucky.
Yeah, lucky.
How do you mean, Chief?
Burton has just given himself up. He saw in the evening papers that we were looking for him. So you're in the clear.
Burton give himself up? Julius, we are free.
Yeah, very interesting. Extremely. By the way, O.B., is Boynton confessing?
No, but he will.
I am sorry I cannot see eye to eye with you, O.B.
No.
Now, I have a theory about who is knocking off who.
Look, you, one more theory out of you, and I'll send you up for 10 years. Now, get out of here, and get out fast before I change my mind and hold you as accessories after the fact.
We're going, ain't we, Julius?
Yeah. Whew. It certainly is lucky for us that Boynton gave himself up.
Mo, Boynton didn't do it.
Didn't do it? But we seen him. You said he done it your own self.
It's a dame which done it. A redhead dame. She's the dame which got in my cab yesterday and makes me drive her to Grand Central Station.
Why her, Julius?
See this picture?
Yeah.
That's her. I took it off the table in O'Brien's office. It was found in Larkin's apartment.
Julius, you should
have. I remember she was very suspicious, nervous.
Yeah, but what about Boynton?
Mo, all good dicks are getting off on a red herring now and then. Remember what happens to Daniel Damore in the case of the Black Nighty?
Oh, but that wasn't a red herring he got off on. That was
the... Shut up. Now, look. This redhead dame, which is in such a stew to get away, is the real killer.
Yeah, Julius. A redhead herring, huh?
Mo, we know who done it. We got a picture. Now, all we gotta do is get her.
Yeah, all we gotta do.
Hey, wait a minute, Julius. Remember what O'Brien said about being accessories.
Accessories, schmasseries. We got the real clue now. Let's go find her.
Julius, turn off the radio. You'll run down the battery. Look, Julius, we've been waiting parked out in front of Larkin's building for 8 days now, waiting for that dame to show up.
What's the matter? Getting discouraged?
Look, Julius, maybe she won't never come back.
She's got it. Says so in the book. A criminal always returns to the
scene of the crime. I know. Yeah, and that song which Boynton wrote, it's driving me nuts. All the radio programs are playing it. Turn it off.
I like it. Yeah, but okay.
Look, let's quit this detecting business, Julius, and get back into the hat business. That dame won't never show.
Hey, Mo, look. That dame. The one we're looking for.
The redhead herring?
Yeah. Hey, she's going into the building. Come on, we're going after her. This is Larkin's apartment.
There she is.
What?
Okay, lady, you are under arrest for the murder of Larkin.
I don't know who you are, what you're talking about.
Look, Amo, she's reaching for a gun.
Yeah, sure.
I got it, Julius. Nice work, my friend. Now, missus, What you gotta say for yourself?
Well, okay. Okay, you got me. Now, aren't you proud of yourself?
Hey, Julius. The dame's boiling.
I can't help it. Crime does not pay.
Yeah, you're right. I killed him. I killed him because he mistreated me. He beat me. Me and my four children.
Four kids? A dirty rat.
Well, I'm sorry.
It was bad enough when we were poor, but when he started making money, he just threw us out. Out into the cold, cold night. We were starving.
Starving? Oh, that dirty bum.
Yeah, I had to sell my new mink coat to get food for my little children.
A guy like that didn't deserve to live.
That's what I kept telling myself, so I bumped him. I killed him in self-defense. Everything went black before my eyes. I didn't know what I was doing.
Naturally. Hey, Mo.
Yeah, Julius.
Got any money on you?
About $1.75.
Give it to me.
For her?
Yeah.
Here.
I couldn't accept it.
I insist.
Gee, you are a generous character, Julius.
Oh, don't mention it. Here, lady, take it.
Oh, gee, thanks. Thanks a lot. You gonna let me go now?
What else?
Oh, you're so kind. You're so sweet.
Oh, you're just saying that.
Could I have my gun back now?
You want it back? What for?
Well, so that I can pawn it and get a few bucks, dollars, to buy food for my poor little children.
Yeah, yeah, sure. The poor little dove. Give it to her, Mo.
Here, lady.
Open up in there. Open up.
The cops.
Goodness.
Come out of that room with your hands up.
Look, I'll hide behind the door. You open it.
Don't worry, little dove. I'll handle him.
Oh, so it's you two again.
Oh, Brian.
I thought I told you the next time I caught you mugging it.
You hit O'Brien over the head. He's out cold.
Oh, lady, you shouldn't have done that.
Okay, let's cut the comedy.
What comedy?
Come on, we're getting out of here. Your cab outside?
Oh, yeah, but...
Shut up! I'm giving the orders. Let's go. I've killed one man with this gun. I can kill two more.
Oh, Julius. She ain't no little dove.
Gaining on it.
I can't go no faster, lady. I got it down to the floorboard now.
Just take it easy with my cab.
You shut up. I'll tell him what to do.
Yes, ma'am. Julius, they're shooting at us.
Oh, Lord, don't let him hit the tires, please.
Two can play at that game.
Lady, you could have rolled that window down.
Don't bother me!
Did she get him?
No, but I'm afraid what's going to happen to us...
What's the matter? You hit Julius?
No worse. They hit the meter. It's 75 cents already.
Well, turn it off. Turn it off.
I can't. It's jammed. Oh, the meter again.
So that one should have stopped it.
It didn't. It's going twice as fast. $3.94, $25, $5.40.
Oh! Listen, you turn left.
What, lady?
Turn left.
But I...
Turn left or I'll blow your head off.
Okay.
What happened?
What happened? No street? So we are capturing the culprit, like Julius says. You see, she is the dead guy's ex-missus, and she don't like him. The reason she is coming back to the apartment is that she knows there's some cash hid there. Well, Burton is let go by the cops, and he gets his songs back. And that is why the papers are calling it Murder in A-flat. You see, A-flat is an apartment. But the best thing about the whole deal is Julius and me is becoming real famous. No kidding. You get the magazine, absolutely authentic true crime fiction. Our truth-to-life stories are appearing in this week's issue.
Now, this is Jeffrey Barnes again, inviting you to be with us next week when we present Richard Connell's The Doctor and the Lunatic. Here is a story that is as tense and suspenseful as Follow That Cab was comic. A mysterious madman is on the loose, a man who is driven to destroy all things of beauty. Plenty of excitement, action, and chills, and a real bang-up climax. So don't miss Richard Connell's The Doctor and the Lunatic.
The original music for the Mole Mystery Theater is composed and conducted by Alexander Semler. Follow That Cab was written by Larry and Sidney Sloan. Johnny Gibson and Larry Haynes were featured in tonight's program. This is Dan Seymour saying goodnight until next Friday at this same time when the Mystery Theater presents The Doctor and the Lunatic.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
All right, that is the Mole Mystery Theater from April 19th, 1946. Follow That Cab with Bernard Lenro as host Jeffrey Barnes. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Let's salute past and present leaders and role models by celebrating Black History Month 365 days a year. This message from Taylor Funeral Home with two locations and a cemetery, serving the audience for over 57 years. For all your funeral, traditional cremation, or burial needs, call Taylor Funeral Home at 773-488-7300 or 219-887-7339 for the cemetery. The Taylor family and staff are leaders and role models, especially for our youth. All right, you know what, Lisa Wolf?
What's up, Carl?
Great to have you back, kiddo.
Good, great to be back.
Mike Costella pinch hitting last week, did a terrific job. But there's no substitute for the one and only Lisa Wolf.
Well, that's true.
You know?
That's a good thing.
It's good to have you back,
Thanks,
Lisa.
It's fun to be here,
yeah,
always.
We will not be on the air tomorrow, folks. The Hawks are playing, and they are playing late. So we are not going to be on the air tomorrow.
So they're
going to
be, the Hawks will be on at 9 o'clock, and then Nick DiGilio will start his show about 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
And we will not be on, but we will be with you in spirit, and we will miss you, and we will be back Saturday night for certain.
That's right. All right. In our next hour, Fibber, McGee, and Molly from 1942, an early broadcast. It's going to be a lot of fun. After that, it's Have Gun, Will Travel from 1959. John Daner as Paladin, the man they call Paladin. He was dressed all in black. All right, it is midnight, and it's time for WGN News. And by the way, Lisa, did you know that I have a promo to read here?
Well, that's
at
good
midnight?
To know.
I'll read it. You ready for this?
Good. Don't mess it up.
Judge me on this.
Okay.
Give me like a score.
I will.
1 to 10.
10
you ready?
The best. Okay.
I'm clearing my throat.
Call me Curtis.
Wait, let me drink a little water.
Curtis, will you give him a score too? We're both going to judge you.
All right, hang on a second.
Okay.
Hang on a second. I don't even know what microphone that is.
Right, Curtis, we're going to judge Carl on how he reads this promo.
All right, ready?
1 through 10.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by your imagination.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, David. All right, in this hour, Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Then in our next hour, it's Have Gun, Will Travel. All right, what's my grade?
All right, you go first, Curtis.
I'm going to go with a 7.1 out of 10.
That's not bad. I'll take that. 7.1.
And what is your rationale for your number?
Reasoning was, I feel like it could have used a little bit more energy.
Really? Right. Okay. I'm kind of a low energy guy.
You know what, Curtis? We are on the same page. Without any conversation,
it should have had more energy.
I was going to give you a 7.0, so we're on the same page. And my rationale for that was, I felt like it needed a little more punch to it.
No.
You know, it was a little low and sing-songy. You need a little more confidence.
But then it doesn't sound real. I mean, you know,
it sounded a little low.
I think people like you're having a conversation with somebody, not like you're reading off
a
piece of paper.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
I was like, you know.
I got the vibe that you were reading it off the
Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet.
There, that was better
way
than
better.
Your first
oh, okay.
Yeah. But 7
would
is
that have
is,
been an 8? 8
for
or 9?
At least.
I'd say, yeah, probably
8.5.
Right, I'll do it that way next time. Thank you.
Okay,
you're
well,
welcome.
Good.
I feel like I'm in broadcast communications school again.
Curtis will be your instructor.
There you go.
All right. Fibber, McGee, and Molly in this hour. But right now it's time to play Cat's Pride. Is it real or is it ridiculous?
The celebrity is Tom Cruise.
Okay.
And the prize.
My twin.
Your twin. Yeah. Yes. I was about to say that.
I see the resemblance.
I think I'm a little taller than Tom, actually.
I don't think so, actually.
I think I am.
And the prize is going to be a pair of tickets to see Little Shop of Horrors, which is playing at Mercury Theater Chicago through April 28th.
All right, what caller would you
like?
We're
going to go with caller 3. Call now, 312-981-7200.
Call now. We'll play the game right after these words. Come on, baby. Let's
get ridiculous. All right, we have Matt on the phone, and we're going to play a little Cat's Pride. Is it real or is it ridiculous? Hey, Matt.
Hey, Lisa. Thank you guys for making my night pleasant.
Oh, well, you know what? Thank you for making our hour two really ridiculous. Fantastic.
Thanks for listening. We appreciate you, Matt.
All right, we're going to play with Curtis Koch. He's in the house, and we will all play together.
Okay.
This is Tom Cruise, number one. He improvised the Risky Business Dance. Is that real or ridiculous? You know, the one where he's in his underwear.
Yeah.
Okay, just to clarify. Matt, what do you say?
I would say that's real.
Curtis?
I would agree with Matt. I think that's real, too.
Yeah, I agree.
That is absolutely true. He improvised that. What a classic that is. Okay, number two. Before Robert Downey Jr. was cast in Iron Man, the part was first offered to Tom Cruise, who declined the role. Real or ridiculous?
I believe that's true also.
Curtis?
I'm going to go ridiculous.
Ooh, Carl. You always make these sounds.
I'm positive Matt's smarter than Curtis, so I'm going to go with Matt.
Good idea. Matt knows his stuff.
Darn. Dang.
Matt,
and here's for you.
He just found his sound effects machine. He's having
I'm
fun.
Sticking with Matt. He's
Matt,
got he's two
out of two.
Two.
I was saying,
okay.
If you put any batteries in it, it sounds more louder this
no.
time.
No? Well, I bought it in December, so it's getting old. Number three, he is credited with saving the sunglasses company Ray-Ban. Is that real or ridiculous?
I would say ridiculous.
Ooh.
Go ahead, Carl.
Darn, I want to.
Curtis, you're next.
Oh, I'm next? Oh,
yes,
okay.
Indeed.
I'll go real. I think he has the funds to
I'm going to go real on that one.
Okay, Matt, are you sure you want to go with ridiculous?
No, I want to go real now.
Okay, that's a really good idea. Thanks to the Shade's prominent cameos in Risky Business, Top Gun, and Rain Man. That is absolutely real. You all got it right.
Well, I wear Ray-Ban. How come I don't get any credit for it?
Because yours are the fake ones.
Oh, yeah. Can't afford the real ones.
Not Tom Cruise.
That's what I'm saying. No, he is Tom Cruise. He's like his twin. We established that already.
If I'm in a room and Tom Cruise is in a room and you're like 30 miles away, we look exactly alike.
30 miles is
away.
Right. Matt, you are a winner. You've got all of them right, and you're a great player. Oh. You've won 2 tickets to Little Shop of Horrors. It's playing right now at Mercury Theater Chicago through April 28th. Don't feed the plants. The story follows a floral assistant that stumbles across a new breed of plant that promises to grant fame, fortune, and all his desires as long as the blood keeps flowing. You can get tickets at mercurytheaterchicago.com or give them a call at 773-325-1700. Matt, I hope you love the show. That's a lot of fun.
It was on our to-do list, actually, yes.
Get out of here. I'm so glad. I hope you love it. Enjoy the show. Let me know what you think.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Matt. All right, Matt's a big winner. And we have a text in line, 312-981-7200. We love getting your texts. We'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning. And it's time now for Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Real-life husband and wife, Jim and Marion Jordan, starred as Fibber, McGee, and Molly. They were on the air a long, long time, 1935 all the way till 1959. They had a long run. And they lived at 79 Wistful Vista in Wistful Vista, USA. The series was written by their co-creator, Don Quinn. And there was all these fun characters that would come over and knock on the door, including Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, played by Hal Perry. And then his show spun off. It was radio's first spinoff series. So we have an episode, Fibber McGee and Molly Now, where Fibber writes a song. Let's go back to March 24th, 1942, part one of Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. Of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Blowcoat present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn, with songs by the King's Men and music by Billy Mills. This year, we're probably going to have more gardens in this country than ever before. You'll soon see many of your neighbors working out in their yards, taking care of young carrots and cabbages and beets. Of course, it's a good idea. It helps the individual family save, and it helps the country conserve. But what has gardening got to do with Johnson's Self-Polishing Blowcoat? Well, I'll tell you. First, if your linoleum floors are protected with Blowcoat, you'll save hours of time during the year, and that time you can very profitably use in your vegetable patch. Blowcoat needs no rubbing or buffing. Self-polishing, you just apply and let dry. Second, when you come in from working in the garden, your feet just might be a little dirty. But if your kitchen floor is protected with Blowcoat, you won't worry a bit. Blowcoat guards the floor against wear, and soiled places are cleaned in a jiffy with a damp cloth. Now, I hope I've made it clear that people with gardens should all use Johnson's Self-Polishing Blowcoat on their floors. Fibber McGee is writing a song. That's all, brother. Now meet Fibber McGee and Molly.
Suppose this
Well, how you doing, dearie?
Great. I feel just like Stephen Foster. Only he didn't have a typewriter.
Well, that may make you even with Stephen, but I'll bet Foster was faster. What's the name of your corny little cadenza?
It ain't corny, and it's got a wonderful title. The Defense Stamp Stomp.
Oh.
That ain't cooking with gas. I'll eat it raw.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Are you going to write the music, too?
Nah. Billy Mills offered to do it, and I didn't want to hurt his feelings.
Well, why don't you get somebody else to do the words, too, and save my feelings? Frankly, I'm kind of leery of your lyrics.
Don't worry. I got a wonderful start. Though I got to fix up the verse some more yet.
Well, how does it go?
Well, it ain't exactly right yet, but I'm on the track. So far, it goes something like this. There's a long, long trail of winding.
Wait a minute.
Huh?
Wait a minute. That's been used.
It has?
Sure.
You mean somebody swiped this already?
No, no. That's a song from the last war. You remember that.
Say, it did sound kind of familiar at that.
Sure.
Oh, well, I'll throw it out. I got plenty of ideas. How about this?
Wait a minute, McGee.
Huh?
On second thought, I don't like your title, The Defense Stamp Stomp.
Why, that's the best part of it.
Why, I know, but I read in the paper where they're going to start calling them war bonds. We're going to stop defending and start fighting.
Oh, all right. So we change the title to The War Stamp Stomp. Yeah. That gets that old fighting spirit into it. As it is, I think it's kind of offensive anyway.
Well, yes. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think it's one of the most offensive songs I ever heard.
Gee, do you really?
Yes, I do.
Oh, thanks. You ain't just saying that because you admire me.
No. No, I'm not. I really think it's a very offensive song.
Of course, I may not be so hot at popular songs. I'd probably be better at serious stuff. Matter of fact, I've been mulling over in my mind a ballad called Ballad for Americans. It'd be great for somebody like Paul Robeson.
Well, there is a song by that name, and Paul Robeson does sing it.
Doggone it, that's always the way it is. Here I get these ideas, and just because I'm too busy to write them down at that particular minute, somebody always comes along...
Say, you better hide that song for a minute, McGee. Huh? This may be Gilbert and Sullivan.
Who?
Gilbert and Sullivan.
I heard of Sullivan. He's an old-time prizefighter. But who's Gilbert?
Well, he wrote the Mikado.
He did? Why, the dirty traitor. Just wait till I get...
Now. Calm yourself, McGee. It's only Mayor LaTrivia.
Oh, come in, LaTrivia.
Hello, Mr. Mayor.
Good day, Mr. McGee. Hello, McGee.
Hi, City Father. What's all the bother?
When I was over here for dinner the other evening, McGee, I lost my Phi Beta Kappa key. Did you find it by any chance?
No. No, we didn't find any keys, Mr. Mayor. Did you lose your whole key ring or just the one key?
Just my Phi Beta Kappa key, Mrs. McGee. Oh. It was pinned on my vest.
Pinned on your vest? That's a heck of a way to carry a key, Latrivia. How do you carry your money? Tied into a corner of your hanky?
Please, McGee, let's be sensible. A Phi Beta key is usually pinned on the vest.
Well, what was it a key to, Mr. Mayor?
It wasn't a key to anything, Mrs. McGee. It was the visible symbol of my membership in the honorary scholastic fraternity, Phi Beta Kappa.
Oh, a key to the frat house. I didn't get it at first, Latrivia. I thought maybe...
Apparently, McGee, you still don't get it. This key has no utilitarian purpose whatsoever.
Well, then what good is it?
For that matter, what good is that American Legion button your husband is wearing?
What do you mean, what good is it, you big lint head? It shows I belong to the Legion. You think I wore it just to keep the wind from blowing through the buttonhole?
You see, the Legion button indicates your membership in the Legion. My Phi Beta Kappa key indicates my membership in Phi Beta Kappa. Is that plain enough, or shall I spell it for you?
Understand, dearie?
Sure. He means he can't get into the Phi Beta Capsule Clubhouse without using his key. They give all the members a key, and when they unlock the door...
This key does not unlock any doors. Can't you get that packed through your Neanderthal noggin?
My what?
Never mind. But please keep an eye out for my key, if you will. It's a small pin, about a half an inch in diameter.
Oh, you mean that's what the pin looks like that was on the key?
That is the key. The key is a pin.
Maybe you better make Latrivia a cup of hot tea, Molly.
I don't want a cup of tea. I just want to find my tea. I mean, my hot tea. No, I don't either.
Now, let's not all get excited, Mr. Mayor. I'm sure that we'll find your little pin with the key still on it, and when we do...
But, Mrs. McGee, there is no key. It's just a pin. They just call it a key.
Well, if you gotta unpin it every time you want to unlock the clubhouse door...
The clubhouse hasn't any doors. There isn't any clubhouse. The key doesn't unlock anything because it isn't the key. It's a pin. I just wear it.
Why?
Because I belong to Pi Beta Kappa.
Well, then why don't they give you a little button that says so?
Because the symbol of membership... Never mind. I'm going to turn in my resignation today. I'm going to join the Elks. Today...
Boy, is he dumb.
You know, he wouldn't be if he'd spent more time studying in college instead of running around with those sorority fellas.
Well, I gotta get back to my song. Now, let me see.
Look, McGee, I've got an idea.
What?
Mr. Wimple is a poet. Say, why don't you get him to help you with the words to your song?
Oh, that's a great thought, Molly. Come on, let's go. I'll get Billy Mills to write the music and Wimple to write the words.
Well, what'll you do?
What'll I do? It's my title, ain't it? Come on, let's go. Over to Mills, then we'll...
Oh, my, it's a lovely spring day, isn't it, dearie? Now, aren't you glad I made you walk?
No. I still think we should have hitched up Lily into the sulky and drove over to Billy's house.
No, it was too soon after Lillian's lunch. She was taking her nap.
All that nag does is eat and sleep. Besides, she's getting too fat, Molly.
She's not fat. She's just filling out.
Maybe so. But she's the first horse I ever saw with a double chin.
Oh, look, McGee, here comes Abigail Uffington.
Correction. Lillian is the second horse I ever saw with a double chin.
Now, listen, Abigail hasn't got a double chin, McGee. She's just got a loose neck.
Loose neck and a tight fist. She's the most...
Oh, hello, Abigail, darling. So nice to see you.
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. McGee? And Mr. McGee.
Hi, Uppy.
Say, we don't often see you walking, Abigail. Where's your limousine?
Oh, I'm economizing on tires, my dear.
Ah, good for you, Uppy. I always was a great walker myself. Why, when I was a kid, I used to walk 9 miles to school every day.
Go on. It was only 3 miles, McGee.
I know, but they always sent me back home for my arithmetic book. That made 3 trips.
Well, what did a future songwriter like you want to waste his time on arithmetic for anyway?
Well, that's what I always tried to tell my teacher, Miss Fiditch. I says, Miss Fidich,
songwriter. Oh, you dear boy. Don't tell me you've added songwriting to your other accomplishments.
What other accomplishments? Name three, Abigail.
Okay, okay, scoff if you wanna. Deer-eyed. But you'll change your mind when you hear my song played on every radio station in the country.
And maybe even one or two in the city. McGee's writing a song called The War Stamp Stomp, Abigail.
Oh, how splendid, and what a thrilling title. Yeah. Oh, I do hope it will be a success, Mr. McGee. Although,
Although what?
Well, I just can't help remembering what a disappointment my nephew had. He was a musician, too.
What happened to him? Lose a button off his bolero?
No. No, he wrote a little thing which even now is played on hundreds of radio stations every day. And the poor lad never collected a dollar.
Oh, what kind of a song is it, Abigail?
Well, the name of it is Bong, Bong, Bong.
Bong, Bong, Bong. That's cute. How does the music go?
Oh, it goes like this. A bong, a bong, a bong.
Heavenly days, did your nephew write that?
Oh, indeed he did. Oh, well, I must be getting along.
So you've decided to walk and save your tires, eh, Eppie?
Oh, yes, yes. I walk all the way down to the Bondown department store nearly every day.
Oh, and all the way back, too?
Oh, no, no, that would be too much, I'm afraid. So my chauffeur meets me with a car and drives me home. I just know you're destined to be another Rimsky-Korsakov. Goodbye.
All right, that's the first portion of Fibber McGee and Molly, Jim and Marion Jordan, starring as Fibber McGee and Molly, and a great show going back to 1942, sponsored by Johnson's Wax. Johnson's Wax was their sponsor for most of the run. Towards the end, Reynolds Aluminum came in, but for most, I would say like 20-plus years, sponsored by Johnson's Wax.
That's a good sponsor.
Yeah, that's nice. Well, guess what? From day one,
yep,
we have had our main sponsor.
And we hope to be on and stay with Cat's Pride for 20-plus years.
Yeah, and you know what? They're an awesome company, and the CEO and all, everyone there, amazing. And they do so much for cats because they donate a full pound of litter for every green jug that you buy. A full pound.
And that's one of the multiple reasons that we like to partner with Cat's Pride.
Yep, they donate it to a shelter that you designate. You can learn all about this by going to litterforgood.com. And you know, the cool thing is when you do sign up and designate your shelter and you buy Cat's Pride, now, you just bought a jug? Well, guess what? They'll donate a pound to that litter, to that shelter. And the great thing about that, if the shelters have litter, right, donated to them, they don't have to spend money, which means they can use that money to help save cats and dogs' lives.
And not only that, but I can attest to the fact that Cat's Pride is a premium and top-notch litter. No, there's no better litter out there than Cat's Pride.
Right, it's in the green jug. Make sure you switch over, folks. They're our main sponsor here on the WGN
Radio
Theater.
And speaking of, we are coming up on our five-year anniversary here on WGN next month.
Yeah. We are?
April.
April
9th.
How have you put up with me for 5 years,
Lisa? I ask
Lisa?
Myself that every weekend.
Gosh, you deserve a medal, and I deserve one twice as big as yours.
To a larger medal?
Yeah.
We're going to have to come up with a
some kind of
something God, very special.
Something. Let's think
we
about
always
it.
Say that.
Let's think about it. And you know what? You can text us in ideas.
Yes.
Our text in line, 312-981-7200. Text us in ideas. We'd love... Love, love to hear your ideas. All right, right now, let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. And I want to remind all of our listeners that we do have our $1 for the first month special for the Classic Radio Club. How about joining tonight? Join the Classic Radio Club and only pay $1, get 5 CDs with 10 classic radio shows in a collector case sent to your home with liner notes, 10 of the greatest classic radio shows of all time, including Suspense and Abbott and Costello with the Who's On First, Jack Benny, Gunsmoke, Our Miss Brooks. You get 10 of the greatest classic radio shows of all time, all digitally remastered. All the commercials are in there, uncut, full-length shows, five CDs, collector case, $1. It's a $40 product. You get it for $1 plus shipping and handling, which is $4.99. When we have to ship it to you, so it's $4.99.
Or you can choose a digital download, and there is no shipping costs, and you can use it and enjoy it just as well with all the same liner notes and information. Either way, CDs or digital download, totally up to you, and you can check it all out at classicradioclub.com.
Yeah, and you're right. There's no shipping and handling if you sign up to the digital download program. Only $1. Right. Just, and the thing is, you can cancel at any time.
Yep.
If you don't want to stay part of the club, get it for the first month for $1, and you can cancel.
Yep.
But sign up today
while we have the $1 promotion going on.
I think that you'll be so happy with it. Yeah. You'll want to continue to be part of the club. We have hundreds and hundreds of people. So check it out, classicradioclub.com.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Hey, Roger.
I said Schomburg.
I know. I know you did. Hey, that's not what I was going to ask you. You mentioned something about the mayoral race. Did I win?
Yes, you did.
Oh, good.
Yes, you did. Dog catcher.
Good. All right. I won. Oh, dog catcher.
Yeah. Well, they counted all the votes, and you came in 20th out of 14. So they figured they had to give you something for that.
I mean, that's
unique
pretty good.
Feat. So you were in the top 20.
There's
are you going to move to the city, Carl?
Is there some kind of a runoff? I really haven't been following it.
Since
I was eliminated, I haven't been following.
Are you being serious now?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Oh, because I was thinking if you were a dog catcher, you'd be doing a lot of running.
What's going on?
There is a runoff. It's coming up in a couple in April, beginning of April.
Do I have any chance to get back in the race?
You have about as much chance getting back into the race
as I do.
as you actually being a dog catcher. You don't.
No.
But there is a
runoff
election between Lori Lightfoot and Tony Preckwinkle.
Okay.
They were the top two vote getters in the primary.
I'm so sorry, Carl.
Both of them beat me.
I know, I feel
they
badly for you.
They wanted to beat you with
Carl.
A bat, actually.
I feel badly for you, Carl, but maybe maybe next time.
Well,
yeah, there's always next time.
Let me tell you, folks, if you would have voted me mayor, I would have moved to Chicago, and I would have cracked some eggs and spilled some milk. I would have got it all fixed, buddy.
Yeah, he's very specific.
Would have fixed the
too.
Whole shooting match.
Yeah,
would have been perfect.
Yeah,
everything would have been great.
Perfect. Everybody would be playing.
It took a few weeks.
Indoor baseball.
It would have took a few weeks, but I would have gotten it all perfect.
Just a few weeks.
Yeah, it's all. Well, I mean, I work fast.
Wow.
I would have hired Lisa as my hatchet man.
And then we're good to go.
You're fired.
And then she would do all the work, and you would just sit back.
Exactly.
That's pretty much how it works anyways now, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Why change if it's working?
I know.
It's just working out great.
All right. Thanks, Roger.
All right.
Okay. You ready for more Fibber, McGee, and Molly?
Well, okay.
All right. Let's go back to March 24th, 1942, the conclusion of Fibber, McGee, and Molly.
What's the matter, McGee? What are you muttering about?
You heard what that old moose said, didn't you? Said I was going to be a Rimsky-Korsakov.
Well?
Well, what is a Rimsky-Korsakov?
Well, I think they're a couple of songwriters.
They can't amount to much. You never hear any of their stuff in the jukeboxes. Besides, I can't...
Well, hello there, folks. Where are you going?
Hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hi, Harlow. We're on our way over to Billy Mills' house. I hope he's home.
Oh, he is. I saw his galoshes on the front porch.
Oh. Well, how do you know there were Billy's?
He had them on. You going over there for dinner?
No, I'm writing a song, Harlow. Billy's doing the score.
Well, what kind of a song is it? Popular?
Very. At least with McGee. He calls it the War Stamp Stomp, Mr. Wilcox.
Yeah, is that a title or ain't it, Harlow? Or maybe you aren't any judge.
Sure, I'm a judge. I'm a composer myself, in a way.
Oh, really, Mr. Wilcox? What songs have you written?
Oh, nothing very famous, I guess, Molly. But I did one I rather liked. It goes, now is the time to protect and preserve the things you own and cut expenses to the bone.
Cute lyrics.
Johnson's Wax on your floors, furniture, woodwork, windowsills, lampshades will not only preserve and protect, but beautify as well. It's swell. Cuts housework to a minimum and saves you time and work. I'd be a jerk if I didn't tell you to use Johnson's Wax and take a rest. It's the best. And on your kitchen floor, use Johnson's self-polishing glow coat. Just make a note. It's so easy, looks so pleasy. Pour it out and spread it around. Let it dry and I'll be bound. Your linoleum looks like new. What a view. Oh, boy. What a joy. Floy, floy. Moy, moy. Hoy, hoy.
Oh, here, here. We have the idea, Mr. Wilcox. Yeah.
We got an idea of the words, Harlow. Now, how about the tune?
Oh, I don't need one. Just say Johnson's Wax to a housewife. That's music to her ears. Good luck, pal.
Oh, what a songwriter. Old Jerome Korn himself.
Another Minsky Korsakov. Say, isn't this Billy Mills' house, McGee?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, come on. Home. Hi, Skimp.
Hello, Mom. Come on in.
Hi.
Why, this is an unexpected pleasure.
Well, I thought you knew we were coming.
Well, I knew Feber was coming. I didn't know you were, Mom. Makes it a pleasure. Park your hat, Pat. Let me take the sable, Mabel.
Now, you're really jiving this afternoon, Billy.
Yes, I'm sending, Skimp. How's everything?
Just fine, Billy.
How's my pal, Uncle Dennis?
Oh, same as ever.
Yes, huh? Too bad.
You know, we've been trying to give him some good advice, but he wouldn't take it.
What advice, Mom?
She told him he ought to give up the little brown jugs till we lick those little yellow mugs.
Uncle Dennis. Well, he'd make a great air raid warden. Out all night anyway.
Now, listen, you never mind, Uncle Dennis. Did you write some music for McGee, Billy?
Well, I'm working on it, Mom. Got the manuscript right here.
Hmm, so...
How does it look to you, dearie?
Now, let me study it a minute, Mom. I mean, Molly. You seem kind of doubtful about the opening chord, Billy.
What you mean?
You got a question mark in front of it.
That's a treble clef.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Treble clef. See this thing here, Molly?
Yeah.
Treble clef. Wonderful thing to have in a song, too. Some of our best music has got treble clefs in it.
Don't tell me. What'll they think of next?
Is this finished, Billy?
No, I had a little difficulty about the piano.
Difficulty?
Yes, man from the finance company. I hurt my hand, too.
How?
Slugged a guy.
Who?
Man from the finance company.
Well, that's tough, Billy. But when do you think you can finish it? I kind of promised the manager of the radio station he could have it at 6 o'clock tonight.
I'll have it done, Skimp. How about the lyrics?
Well, Mr. Wimple is going to do the lyrics, Mr. Mills.
Yeah, and when he gets the words done and you finish the music, Billy, I got a hunch that this is going to be the best song I ever wrote. Hey, that reminds me, I better call Wimple and see how he's getting along. Where's your phone, Billy?
You see that brown cord on the floor over there?
Yeah.
Well, follow that. There's a lamp on the end of it. Try the black cord.
Never mind tracing it down, McGee. Here's the phone right here.
Let me take it. Thanks. Hello, operator. Give me Wistful Vista 72. Oh, is that you, Mert?
Oh.
Here's my hospitality.
How's every little thing, Mert? It is, eh? What's say, Mert? Your brother shot it out with the cops, eh?
Oh, heavenly days, McGee. What happened?
Mert's baby needed a bottle of milk in the middle of the night, and she called her brother at the creamery, and he shot it out with the cops. What's say, Mert? Oh, you have. Oh, thanks. Hello, is this Wallace Wimple? Hey, what's the matter, Wimp? You got a cold? Your voice is deeper than usual. Huh? Huh? Oh, excuse me, Mrs. Wimple. May I speak to Wallace? Thanks.
Wimple started the lyrics yet, Mom?
Yes, McGee called him earlier today, and he said...
Is that you, Wimple? This is McGee. Yeah, look, Billy Mills is nearly finished with the music. Suppose you get them words done and meet me at the radio station about 5:45.
The King's Men sing Lanigan's Shillelagh.
His name was Timothy Lanigan. He came from County Clark. 'Cause on the 17th of March he landed in New York. The crowds were down to meet the boat. There wasn't room to stand. Sure, there was Timothy Lanigan, a-looking mighty grand. Oh, he carried his old shillelagh in his hand. Yes, he carried it all the way from Ireland. As he raised his old corbeen and sang the wailing of the grief, sure, he carried his old shillelagh in his hand. Says he, I've got a
job to do. I'm on the trail now of the guy who threw the overalls in Mrs. Murphy's chow. And if I ever find him, there will be an awful row. So it carries me old shillelagh in me hand. And all over the USA, the people all got out of his way, for he carried his old shillelagh in his hand. One day while Timothy Lanigan was leaving his hotel, he heard a step behind him and a voice he knew so well. He whirled around to take a look, and there upon the stoop was the man who threw the overalls in Mrs. Murphy's soup. And he carried a big shillelagh in his hand.
In his hand, yes, he carried a big shillelagh in his hand.
In his hand, he was big and he was tall and he was looking for a brawl. And he carried a big shillelagh in his hand. Swung their old shillelaghs and they circled all about. Through the afternoon they battled and they still were feeling stout. But when the moon began to rise, they knocked each other out. And they fell with their shillelaghs in their hand. Oh, they both woke up together and they called the fight a draw. And Timothy discovered he'd been fighting with his paw. Said Lanigan the senior,
I'll confess it to you now. I'm the mink who threw the overalls and Mrs. Murphy's chow.
So, oh, they carried their old shillelaghs in their hand. And the last we heard, they're back in Ireland. And they're looking for a brawl any time or place at all. For they carry their old shillelaghs in their hand.
Where did you tell Mr. Wimple you'd meet him, McGee?
Right here at the reception desk. Hey, Bud.
Yes, sir?
I got an appointment to meet a guy here in a few minutes. Do you mind if we hang around?
Oh, not at all, sir. Would you care to see a broadcast while you wait?
Oh, my. It might be fun, McGee. What's on now, sir?
Well, in 5 minutes, we have Uncle Bunny and his Seepy Time Tales. And then at 6:30, a news broadcast by Herman Sherman, the commentator who sees all, knows all, and guesses very badly. And then at 6:45...
Skip the schedule, bud. Skip the schedule. Thanks anyway, but I don't think we got time. Oh, here he comes. Hey, Wimp! Here we are.
Hello, Mr. Wimple.
Hello, folks.
How'd you get along with my song, Wimp?
Oh, quite well, Mr. McGee, considering.
Considering what, Mr. Wimple?
Well, I had to stop every now and then and help Sweetie Face.
Oh.
She was practicing the shot put for the police games next month.
Hmm. Practicing the shot put? How could you help her do that?
She didn't want to get the floor all dented up, so I had to stand across the room and catch the shot when she threw it. My goodness. The woman is a human cannon. I'd like to send her away to General MacArthur. Or somebody.
Well, did you get the song done, Mr. Wimple?
Yes, I did, Mrs. McGee. When I got started on the lyrics, Sweetie Face thought I was a regular Cole Porter.
Hmm. She did, eh?
I guess so. Anyway, she kept me running down to the cellar for more coal for the fireplace.
Let's hear your words for the song, Mr. Wimple.
All righty. The war stamp stomp.
Boy, what a title.
Here's the chorus. Dig down deep into your rampers. Lay it on the line, you stompers. For the right, for right is might. Get into it. Don't be tight. And stomp. Stomp. The war stamp stomp.
Why, that's very good, Mr. Wimple.
That's terrific, Wimp. Much obliged.
Now, the second chorus goes, oh, there's men behind the guns, to lick the Jappies and the Ites and the Huns. So when you...
Hold it, Wimp. That's great. Much obliged. Now, you wait out here and I'll let you know what happens. Come on, Molly.
Where, McGee?
I gotta show this song to the manager. Hey, Bud, is Mr. Strokes in his office?
Just a moment, sir. I'll see. Yes, sir, he is. Whom shall I say wants to see him, sir?
Fibber McGee, the songwriter. Tell him it's about that song I wrote that I spoke to him about over the phone.
Yes, sir. Extension 867J, please. Mr. Strokes? There's a Mr. McGee here who says... Oh, sir? Well, he's short and heavy set and... Sir? Oh, but he says he's already spoken to you about... Sir? No, but... Sir? Oh, I'm sorry, sir, but I already told him you were in and he... Sir? Oh, yes, sir. You may go in, Mr. McGee. Mr. Strode said he was very anxious to see you. Third door to your left.
Thanks very much.
Hot dog. What did I tell you, Molly? These guys are hungry for new talent.
Yeah, that's what the missionary said when the cannibals put the kettle on.
I bet they offer me a job on the staff here. Maybe head of the music department. They ought... Oh, here we are. Hi, Strozzi, old man. I'm McGee, the songwriter. This is my wife, Molly.
How do you do, I'm sure.
Good day. McGee, somebody called me earlier today and said that you were the author of the greatest song ever written.
That was me, Chief. Now, look. Here's the song. I call it the War Stamp Stump. Now, just look it over.
The War Stamp Stump. Isn't that a wonderful title?
It certainly is.
It's an inspiration. That's what it is, Strokes. Just popped into my head one morning and I says to myself, boy, is that a title. Then I get
Wait a minute, McGee. Mm-hmm. Do you ever listen to station M-E-O-W?
Oh, say he listens every night.
Yeah, that's why I come to you. My favorite radio station. Now look, Strokes, you publish this on a royalty basis and
I'll... What's that? Publish it. Why, you little pirate.
Huh?
Why, what's the matter?
We've been featuring a song called The War Stamp Stomp over this station for 2 weeks.
You've been... Oh, that's where I heard it.
Nearly every home has a few things finished with chromium. If you think of your own home for a moment, you'll remember those towel bars and perhaps other fixtures in the bathroom and kitchen. Possibly some chromium chairs or tables, not to forget the trim on your automobile. You know, of course, that chromium is scarce at present and should be protected. But do you know the easy, inexpensive way to protect it? Yes, with that same genuine Johnson's wax you use to protect and beautify your floors, furniture, and woodwork. Apply Johnson's wax, either paste, liquid, or cream, the same as you do on wood surfaces. The wax forms a protective shield that guards the chromium against the corrosive action of weather and fingerprints, also against minor scratches. You'll notice, too, how the wax finish adds a soft beauty to the metal itself. Now, before another day passes, protect all chromium surfaces in your home with genuine Johnson's wax.
Terribly sorry about your song, McGee. I really thought you had something there.
Yeah, me too. I still think my song was better than the one they've been playing. It had more zing, more patriotic oomph.
Yes, sir. And I'll bet if you ever published it and everybody started singing it, it would be an awful pain in the neck to Berlin.
Berlin, Germany?
No, Berlin Irving.
Oh. Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax Finishes for Home and Industry, inviting you to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
That's Fibber McGee and Molly. Great broadcast from March 24th, 1942, that actually originated on NBC here in Chicago. It aired on WMAQ. In fact, that was a WMAQ Chicago air check, sponsored by Johnson's Wax. Jim and Marion Jordan, also in that cast. Harlow Wilcox doing the announcing, Billy Mills and his orchestra. The Kingsmen, Gail Gordon, Isabel Randolph, Bill Thompson and Frank Nelson with Don Quinn doing the writing. It's, you know, Fibber McGee and Molly, one of the greatest comedy shows of the golden age of radio. We play a lot of them here. We have hundreds and hundreds of episodes in our library, all from directly from the master transcription discs, and hope you enjoyed that. In our next hour, it's Have Gun, Will Travel with John Daner as Paladin. And good Western. You're going to enjoy that. But first, these words. Wow, 95 years.
Young.
Wow, that's a long time to be...
young.
Yeah, young. What happens?
You stay young.
Yeah, maybe it's 200 years and you're not so young.
What are you talking about?
95 years and you're young. Well, you know what? These shows, believe it or not, aired about, let's see, aired like 70, 80, 90 yep. years ago, these yeah. classic radio shows. It's and they hold up well. I mean, some of the comedies, not so much, but the mysteries, the detective shows, the westerns, they all hold up well.
And some of the comedies hold up.
Yeah.
Some don't.
Sure.
But, you know, even the ones that don't hold up, I find it so interesting to hear them and some of the terminology, though antiquated. You know, it's kind of great to hear what was different in that period in time, and you learn a little bit about history that way.
It's definitely a time capsule when you listen to these shows. Yeah. You never know. You never know what you're going to hear, too, because they used different words for different things back then,
I just
then,
said
too.
That, but it was a little more concise when I said that.
Oh, yeah. I don't listen to you.
That's, I noticed that.
You know what? In our next hour?
Yes, I do know what.
What do we have?
What do we have? Have Gun, Will Travel?
Yeah, Have Gun, Will Travel. And you know what we have next week when we come back here?
Yes, I do.
Do you have it?
No, I just gave it to you.
Oh, you gave it back to me.
I did.
Next week, we have Suspense. Rocky Fortune with Frank Sinatra, the Screen Director's Playhouse. That's Saturday.
Right.
And on Sunday, the Abbott and Costello Show plus Dimension X. What a great job, Lisa.
I know.
You
got
to do the X with the echo, though.
Dimension X, 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 X.
That's exactly how it sounds.
Wow.
Yeah. We're good, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to get paid more money to do stuff like that because that's extra work.
Well, I've got a coffee cake in here.
Do you? What kind is it?
You'll love it.
What
I have
it?
Two coffee cakes.
You do?
One's really? Got chocolate and one's got
Ooh.
Pecans.
I like chocolate.
Oh, pecans?
Yeah.
Chocolate? Can I really have some?
Yeah.
Where is it from?
Huh?
Is it from Woodman's?
Did you bake it?
Is it from Woodman's?
Is it gluten-free?
I can't say that it... No, it's not gluten-free, which is why I'm not eating it.
Is it from the bakery?
Oh, I'm coming in there. I'm getting some coffee.
It's a baked good.
Let's just leave it at that. Yeah. Speaking of Woodman's, you know, they're one of our main sponsors here, and we have a wonderful promotion going on. If you shop at Woodman's, what do you do, Lisa?
You should send your receipt to woodmanswgn@gmail.com, and then we will
email it.
Right. And what do we send them? Some classic downloads.
12.
How many? 12 classic radio downloads free just for shopping at Woodman's. So the March went out yet?
Yeah, the March is ready to go.
Great.
Yeah. Just shop at Woodman's, take a photo of it, and email it to us. Yeah. woodmanswgn@gmail.com.
Right, simple.
Is that what you said?
That's what I said.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty good, Lisa.
Thanks, Carl.
You were off a whole week and you haven't missed a beat.
I was
not off a whole week.
I was off just Sunday. I was here last Saturday.
And I will say this. You are very tan.
Oh,
very
yeah.
Very tan.
I know. Roger, did you notice my deep dark suntan?
See how dark tan she is?
I'm just busy doing all this stuff. I'm busy in here.
Very dark.
I know you
important
are.
Things to do. I don't have time to check people's
tan. Yeah, leave Roger alone. He's
All
got
right.
work to do in there.
I always bug Roger. Do I always come in to the newsroom?
I'm coming in
yes.
there for some
yes,
pound cake, some
Is
coffee
good
cake
or not
or something
good?
Like that. Pecans, that we'll
leave that up
good.
To the.
I'll taste the chocolate one.
Right. Leave that up to the restraining order.
In the next hour, Have Gun, Will Travel. One of the best westerns of the radio, radio westerns. I mean, as far as an adult western, there was Gunsmoke was an adult western. Have Gun, Will Travel, Fort Laramie. But I don't know, Have Gun, Will Travel was pretty darn good. And interestingly, Lisa, Have Gun, Will Travel did not start as a radio show. Started
right.
as a TV show.
One of the few that went the other direction.
Yeah, and it was so popular, CBS Radio said, hey, let's turn it into a radio show, too. Very few shows went backwards.
Right.
Right.
And we will also be giving away two tickets to see Little Shop of Horrors, which is at Mercury Theater Chicago. So we can look forward to that for our Cat's Pride Real or Ridiculous
wow.
segment.
Very good. All right. That's in the next hour.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
That's what the Cowardly Lion does, Lisa. A roar.
But I'm.
Hang on a second.
I did it for you. Don't do it again. Oh.
Yeah, he calls Aurora a roar. A roar.
Okay,
he can't.
Anyhow.
He's on the phone. I thought we were trying to give Roger a hard time, but
that's what we do best.
He's on the phone. He's oblivious to what we're doing right now.
Well, he should be a part of our show.
No, he's on the phone.
Well, that's not acceptable.
On the phone. I know. Oh, well. Well, you
All
know
right,
what?
We'll move on.
In this hour, we have Gun, Will Travel with John Daner. Yeah, the radio series had a completely different cast than the TV series. Of course, Richard Boone was Paladin on television. But then when CBS said, hey, let's turn it into a radio series as well, Richard Boone was too busy. He was doing the TV series. So they signed John Daner to play Paladin. So two different actors, but he does a great job. I mean, you'll hear this in just a few minutes. But it's time now to play our game. Is it real or is it ridiculous, sponsored by Cat's Pride?
Right. And last hour, we joked that Tom Cruise was your twin from 30 miles away. But here's the thing for this celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
Truly your twin maybe half a mile away.
Wow.
Right?
I'm going to guess it's the guy who plays Thor. Chris Hemsworth?
Yeah. No, not him. But really, I'm not kidding.
How about Jamie Dornan from Fifty Shades of Grey?
No,
I look a lot like him, too.
Yeah. Well, no, seriously, closer to this guy. Who's the guy we always say you look most like that people confuse
Scott
you
Baio?
All the time? No, I'm not kidding.
A very old Scott Baio.
As an adult, right? No.
What do you think?
I'm not kidding.
Don't
we talked
Dudley
about
Moore.
Him all the time. Come on, we talk
on,
about it all
Dudley
the time.
Moore. Really? I look like somebody?
Yeah, in your mind.
Let me
you
think
do.
So,
da, 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 da.
I'm trying to
George Clooney.
Oh.
Yeah, well, I mean, we are the same person.
That's
how close, that's how much
on,
we look.
30 miles away.
George Clooney is the celebrity. The prize is two tickets to see Little Shop of
Horrors.
I do
look a little bit like George Clooney.
I told you that. It's
right?
Playing at Mercury Theater Chicago.
back of my head. Looks like his back of his head. All right,
we,
so
we know that.
We have, what are we giving away?
We're giving away two tickets to see Little Shop of Horrors at Mercury
play.
Theater Chicago.
A lot of fun.
Everybody's loving that show. It just opened up March 1st. It's
you scored
hot
two
new ticket.
Tickets?
Well, I didn't. I'm going to be giving them away.
All right.
But you have to give us a call at 312-981-7200. Call now. We're looking for caller number 5.
All right. We'll play the game right after these words.
Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous.
We're going to play a little Real or Ridiculous with Susan. Hey, how are you?
Great.
Great. Glad you're with us.
Hi, Susan.
You know George Clooney, Carl's twin?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good looking.
Carl or George?
Thank you.
All right.
Hey, a woman said I was good looking.
I'm not sure that's what she was saying.
It's a first.
But you take it. You just take that one. All right, Susan, you single?
Yes.
Okay, then.
Oh, there
it's a match.
Perfect.
All right, you guys can talk later. Here we go, George Clooney, number one. So sorry, I'm lost. Okay. He tried out to play professional baseball.
Hey, you know, maybe that MyPillow could break that glass at some point.
Okay,
you never know.
You two will talk after the show.
Okay.
George Clooney tried out to play professional baseball with the Cincinnati Reds. Mm. Is that real or ridiculous, Susan?
Ridiculous.
Carl?
I'm going to say real.
It's real. He did try out. He was not offered a contract, but he did give it his best shot.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, there's two.
I started out really badly tonight, but
you
I've
sure
gotten
did.
A lot better. I've
you
gotten
sure
a
did.
Bunch right now.
Okay, number two. George Clooney made his directorial debut with Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, the movie. Mm. Is that real or ridiculous?
Real.
I don't think so. You're saying that's his movie debut?
I said it's his directorial debut with Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Yes, I agree. I agree with Susan.
That is real.
Yeah.
You are both correct.
All right.
That was in 2002. Okay, number three. In 2015, he was awarded the Cecil B. DeMille Lifetime Achievement Award. Real or ridiculous?
What year?
2015. Real or ridiculous?
Ridiculous.
I agree with Susan. Ridiculous.
It is real.
No way.
It sure is. No way. I just made it up.
She's tricky, that Lisa.
I'm tricky, but you won. You are the winner of two tickets to Little Shop of Horrors. It's playing right now at Mercury Theater Chicago, running through April 28th. It's a great story, you know, about the flower assistant, and there's a new breed of a plant, and it gives him all these promises to grant him fame, fortune, and all his desires, as long as the blood keeps flowing.
That's worth blood.
It's worth blood.
Yeah,
check it out and get tickets at mercurytheaterchicago.com. I hope you enjoy the show. It's a really hot ticket right now in Chicago.
Have fun, Susan. Sounds
Thank
like a
you.
Good time.
Awesome.
Take care.
You
enjoy
rock.
It.
Thanks, Susan. All right. She's a big winner. She's going to see Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah, it's a great. It's a musical.
Man. Yeah, well, speaking of musicals.
Yes.
I saw a musical
yes.
over the weekend. Lisa.
You mean a movie. You don't
a
mean
a movie,
you don't
but
mean
it was a musical.
Right.
And, you know, for some reason, this movie came out a couple of years ago.
Yes.
I did not see it. It almost won Best Picture. It was given the award and then they pulled it from it. Remember?
Well, yes.
Okay.
It wasn't. Right. was erroneously.
Yeah, so it didn't win, but it sort of won, and then it didn't win.
I remember.
But I did not see the movie this whole time because I don't really like musicals. But guess what? I watched it, and I absolutely loved it.
Well, it's kind of, why don't you tell them what movie it was?
La La Land.
It was kind of a romantic musical. I'm really surprised that you enjoyed that.
I didn't just enjoy it. I loved it.
Really? I think you liked it more than I did.
I thought it was fantastic.
I liked it, but I didn't go, oh,
what I loved about it the most,
yes,
besides the songs and all that was great and the dancing,
right,
was the fact that here they both were singing. These are not professional singers.
Obviously.
They were dancing. They're not professional dancers.
Right.
And he was playing the piano. He learned how to play the piano for this movie. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I have so much respect.
I think you should be a movie reviewer on Nick D's show.
And then, on top of it, you ready for this? This is the thing I really love, is they would do these long takes without cutting the film. Like, you know, it was like one continuous take. The very opening of the movie, they're on a highway, like there's lots of cars. It's a traffic jam. And that thing just goes on and on and on. Not one cut. It's one continuous take. And they do that a lot throughout the movie. And I just think that's awesome.
Well, yeah, good.
Great choreography. It was just amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
Great music.
You know, along the same lines with what you said, you know, A Star is Born with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, they did all of their songs live. It wasn't recorded. I mean, it was what it was.
Yeah,
they didn't redo. They didn't edit
it. I loved that movie. I thought it was great.
They didn't redo and edit.
So maybe I do like musicals.
Maybe you do. Maybe you're just changing in your old age.
Maybe.
See?
Well, I'm 28 now, you're
evolving. Maybe you're maturing.
No way.
That's possible.
Come on. I'm staying a kid.
Okay.
All right, you ready for Have Gun, Will Travel?
I think so.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Great Western series. Began as a TV show in 1957, transitioned to radio in 1958. Richard Boone on TV, John Daner on radio. And, you know, Gene Roddenberry, who created Star Trek, he wrote 24 episodes of Have Gun, Will Travel. It was working as a writer. And this was like, you know, he was this tough guy. He was hired by people. He solved problems for people and got paid for doing the dirty work, you know. And it was a great series, great television series. I have all the episodes on DVD. Watch them often. And, of course, I watch them on MeTV. But we're going to listen to a radio series from April 12th, 1959. This is called The Colonel and the Lady, John Daner, Part 1, Have Gun, Will Travel.
I'll make it real plain for you, mister. I came here to find a girl. And you're not leaving this room until you tell me where she is.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875. The Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Ah, Mr. Paladin. Your cigars, your tickets for theater tonight, and your newspaper.
Oh, thank you, headboy. Now then, that's...
I would read the Sacramento Bee if I were you, Mr. Paladin.
Oh? Why would you do that, hey boy?
Because I already read. It's on page one.
Oh? Where?
There.
Ah. Wanted. Man with investigative ability, tact, perseverance for possibly hazardous mission.
He's all, you see?
Could be former army officer. Rather exacting demands, hey boy.
Oh, no, sir. Like it written just for you.
Communicate Colonel H.P. Lathrop, River Acres, Sacramento, California.
You know this colonel, Mr. Paladin?
No, but I think I'd like to meet him.
Oh, I should send him wire saying you are investigative and tactive and conservative.
No, never mind that, hey boy. Just say, have gun, will travel.
If you want to know more than merely what's going on in the world, if you want, in addition, the perspective of a brilliant world traveler whose entire life has been one fascinating travelogue, listen to Lowell Thomas. Each weekday evening, CBS Radio presents the man who has seen all, whose lively imagination and experience make him one of the world's natural raconteurs. For hard news or delightful human interest sidelights, join Lowell Thomas. You can't beat him. Enjoy the worldly wisdom of the man who climbed to the rooftop of the world to meet the boy god of Tibet in person. Get the slant of the man who went back of the beyond to Australia's Never Never Land. Follow the colorful views of a man as at home on camelback as in a taxi. Monday through Friday on most of these stations, hear Lowell Thomas reporting the news. It's a service of CBS Radio, part of the different sound that makes such a sound difference in your listening habits. This station, and behind it, the CBS Radio Network, is proud to bring you weeknights, Lowell Thomas reporting the news. Colonel H.P. Lathrop, River Acres, Sacramento, California. The home was even more impressive than the address. A barefooted Indian servant girl admitted me and led me down a long hallway and left me standing in a waiting room, which was dwarfed by a giant coat of arms.
Mr. Paladin?
Yes.
Colonel Lathrop. Happy to know you, sir.
And you, sir.
Ah, I see you've noticed my family coat of arms.
I could hardly not notice it, Colonel.
If pride of family be a sin, sir, then I'm guilty. I'm proud of my family heritage.
I'm certain you have every reason to be proud, Colonel.
I trust you'll bear that in mind when you attend to the mission I've been contemplating for you. Oh, I've heard of you, Mr. Paladin. I placed that ad hoping you would answer it. I need a man who is able... Oh, Martha, my dear.
I'm sorry. I didn't know we had visitors.
This is Mr. Paladin, my dear.
How do you do?
How do you do, Mrs. Lathrop?
Please forgive me. Pablo's very ill. I must hurry now. You'll be with us for dinner, Mr. Paladin?
Well, of course he will.
How nice. Excuse me now.
The eternal nurse. My wife's always ministering to the sick, the lame, and the lazy.
Colonel, what is it you wish of me?
Before we discuss business, you must refresh yourself. Tuolumne.
Yes, Colonel Lathrop.
Take Mr. Paladin's bag to his room. Draw his bath. You've plenty of time for a bath, sir. We dine at 8. Brandy? Cigar?
Yes, thank you, Colonel.
You're probably anxious to know why you're here.
I am.
I'm not certain my wife will approve of my reasons for contacting you.
I approve of you, my dear. That's enough.
Well, why am I here, Colonel?
I want you to locate a woman for me, Mr. Paladin. A woman named Gloria Morgan.
Yes, I've heard of the name.
And then you've also heard of Lodestar, Nevada.
Yes.
You've heard of it, I'm sure, my dear.
Possibly I have. I can't say one way or the other.
During the silver boom, it was a roaring mining camp.
Was it? May I pour you more brandy, Mr. Paladin?
No, thank you.
Gloria Morgan was reigning queen of the Tenderloin district there until the boom was over. Then she disappeared.
And your interest in locating her, Colonel?
She's a missing chapter in a history I'm writing about the West.
Oh, heavens! She's so important you have to hire Mr. Paladin to find her, Colonel.
Essential, my dear. I'm a stickler for exactness. I must meet her and know what she's like. I know that a gun battle was once fought for her favors. I know that her beauty and her fame were known throughout the camps. I know she imperiled hearts and lives with a smile. And what I don't know is whether she still lives or not. And I must know.
Why don't you look into this matter yourself?
I regret, Mr. Paladin, that I'm not physically up to it. You'll take the job?
Yes. Yes, I will. I'd like to meet her, too.
Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay
Friends drop in. Let your hospitality show you're sociable in the modern manner. Pepsi, you know, is the favorite of the smart and young at heart.
Be sociable, smart. Keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable, have a Pepsi.
Have you tried a Pepsi lately?
It was a curious mission, searching for a dance hall queen. But no more curious than the man who instituted it, or the reasons he gave for wanting Gloria Morgan located. There were other people who had different ideas.
I come to your room to warn you. Do not go to Lodestar. Colonel is a monster. He likes to hurt people. He is torturer.
Who is he torturing?
His wife. He has been stabbing her with that name, Gloria Morgan. I think she, his sweetheart once. He want to find her, bring her here.
And he told me he never laid eyes on the woman.
He tell lie.
Perhaps, but then I'm paid to locate Gloria Morgan.
If you do, if you bring her back here, I kill you.
Welcome to Lodestar. You like a room?
Room and some information.
Yes, sir. Room 33. Let me sign here, please.
All right.
Now, what was the information you wanted?
Well, I'm trying to locate a lady of some repute named Gloria Morgan.
I haven't got an empty room.
The key to 33, please.
It's filled.
The key.
All right. Well, you ain't gonna get nowhere around Lodestar looking for the likes of her.
All right, that's the first portion of Have Gun, Will Travel, The Colonel and the Lady from 1959, starring John Daner. More after these words. Let's salute past and present leaders and role models by celebrating Black History Month 365, 24-365, how's that? 365 days a week, a year. Wait, 365 days a year, right?
Yes.
Okay. This message from Taylor. I'm a little sleepy. I don't think I napped enough today, Lisa.
Go ahead.
This message from Taylor Funeral Home with two locations and a cemetery serving the audience for over 57 years. For all of your funeral, traditional cremation, or burial needs, call Taylor Funeral Home at 773-488-7300 or 219-887-7339 for the cemetery. The Taylor family and staff are leaders and role models, especially for our youth.
I give you a three.
It wasn't that good.
Okay, and that was generous. Why don't you have... I'm supposed to read that stuff anyways.
You know, I'm not always a 7.1.
Not always.
Curtis was
sometimes you're
me.
A 10.
Yeah. Not too often.
Oh, yeah.
Not too often.
All the time.
I'm enjoying this Have Gun, Will Travel broadcast. We're going to get back to it after news. It is time for WGN News at 1:30. I'm going to see if it's sponsored. It is not.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
It is 1:34. Thank you, Roger. And we're listening to Have Gun, Will Travel. John Daner starring as Paladin. Let's get back to it right now.
Bartender, I want to buy
him out of it.
I haven't named it yet.
Or whatever it is, we ain't got it here, mister.
All right.
Hey!
I'll get it myself.
I heard you was kind of frisky and quick.
I am. She must have been quite a lady.
What lady?
Oh, did I say lady?
Yeah.
The slip of the tongue. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure she was a lady, judging by the things I've heard of her.
You're one called Paladin?
Yeah.
Move on, Maisie.
Shut up. I can talk to him if I want to. You've been asking about Gloria Morgan, ain't you? Well, I knew her. I worked with her. Roomed with her once. How about some of that?
My pleasure. Where can I find Gloria Morgan?
I don't know where little Gloria is. But I can tell you where I wish she was.
Oh?
My man left me when he saw her. That's what. For all her own good looks, she couldn't hold a candle to me.
Maisie.
Oh, Mr. Summers.
Get out of here, Maisie. Go on.
Yes, sir.
Stay where you are, Maisie.
My name is Clay Summers, Paladin. Don't reach for the gun. Now let's go.
It would appear I have no choice, Mr. Summers.
That's right, you don't. Come on. Your horse?
Yes.
Okay, I'll just take your gun. Now, Paladin, you show your face in Lodestar again, I'll kill you with your own gun. There'll be no fair fight. I'll ambush you. All right, mount up. Now ride out.
I was a teenage Jame. That's right, I was a teenage Jame, living in a lovely scratch on the tile bathroom floor. I came in on a saddle chew, and then I moved to the floor. There were millions of us James, playing rock around the sink or hiding in fect. My hostess was a wonderful woman. Every week she'd splash all around us with nice warm soap and water. But then some rat squealed to her about Lysol, and we had to beat it. Lysol kills James. It was murder.
Yes, if you're a germ, you'll hate Lysol, because Lysol kills disease germs, many deadly viruses, too. Lysol also destroys bathroom odors. Cleaning every week with Lysol in the suds disinfects your bathroom from one cleaning to the next as nothing else can. A little Lysol brand disinfectant in the suds makes your favorite cleaners work better, including many that claim to sanitize. Lysol is now available in regular or pine fragrance, as little as 29 cents.
We're looking for a new bathroom to live in. How about yours?
I rode as ordered. But by nightfall, I was back in Lodestar, ready to meet the man who had threatened to shoot me on sight. He seemed genuinely surprised to see me again when I appeared at his office. Hold it.
I told
you. I know what you told me, Mr. Summers. Now I'm telling you. This is a derringer. Sit down, please.
What do you want?
My gun, for one thing. It's a fine weapon. I just couldn't leave it behind. Where is it?
Laying over there.
Wow.
Keep your hands off that picture.
That lady is lovely. The Gloria Morgan?
Put that picture down.
I don't want the picture, Mrs. Summers, but I want to talk about her. You must have been very fond of her. I don't understand how a woman like her rates your loyalty, why men will kill for her. She was filth. She was a cheat, a liar, and a thief, and worse. I know that for a fact.
You know nothing, Paladin.
Then what is the truth?
She was all things to all men. She was saint or devil or whatever.
I understand there was a gun battle fought for her favors.
Not for her favors. For her hand in marriage.
Oh.
I suppose the other fella had as much right to court her as I did.
You?
But I... It was a good fight and a fair one. When it was all over, we were both near death.
And Gloria Morgan?
Well, she told us that she loved neither one of us. And she went away. All I have left of her is that picture. I don't know where she is now. I can't tell you that.
You don't have to tell me, Mr. Summers. I know where to find Gloria Morgan. I can't very well do that.
I told you I would kill you.
So is everyone else, and I'm still alive. I want to see Colonel Lathrop.
You find out about that woman?
Yes.
You are going to tell them?
I was hired to. But I don't think that Gloria Morgan is going to hurt your mistress, Ptolemy. Now take me to the colonel.
Come.
Colonel, Miss Lathrop.
Mr. Paladin.
Come in.
Well, how's your patient, Mrs. Lathrop?
Pablo is well, thank you. That'll be all, Ptolemy.
Yes, Mrs. Lathrop.
Well, were you successful, Mr. Paladin? Did you find Gloria Morgan?
Yes.
Where is she?
Perhaps it's more important to know who she was rather than where she is, Colonel.
I know who she was.
I doubt it. I talked to many people, and few agreed as to exactly what she was. Some alleged that she was a strumpet. Some held to the contrary. And others thought that Gloria Morgan was a victim of a rather ugly set of circumstances over which she managed to triumph.
What circumstances?
She was abandoned in a mining camp by a man who'd brought her there under the pretense of marriage. No money, no friends, no one to turn to. She did the best she could. She sang and danced in the saloons. She shared in the money that men spent for the pleasure of drinking in her company.
Is this distressing you, my dear?
No. Go ahead, Mr. Paladin.
Well, apparently Gloria Morgan managed to do these things without compromising her essential integrity. Two men wanted to marry her, and she rejected them both. But as far as I could learn, both men are still in love with her.
Go on, Mr. Paladin.
Many others still love her for her generosity. Now, I'm trying to crystallize my impression of Gloria Morgan as I learned to know her, Colonel.
And that impression is...
That she was a remarkable woman, whose friendship I would have considered a high honor, Colonel.
Please go on, Mr. Paladin.
Gloria Morgan's married today.
Happily?
Unhappily. I'm sure it was a good marriage to a proud man until he received information exposing his wife's past in the worst kind of light. So out of hurt, arrogant pride, he planned to punish her by having a third party confront her with proof of her identity in his presence.
That will be quite enough, sir.
The scheme was unworthy of the man, Colonel. Now, I have an idea that he was still in love with his wife, but he was sick in his mind. And the pity of it all is that if this man had approached his wife in a reasonable manner, I'm certain she would have told him all he wanted to know.
Yes, I'm sure she would have done that. But my husband paid you to make a report, Mr. Paladin. Why don't you make it?
The whereabouts of Gloria Morgan? You want to know where she is, Colonel?
No, Mr. Paladin.
It's just as well. The Gloria Morgan of Boomtown days is dead. Do you believe that, Colonel?
Yes. Yes, I believe it. Excuse me.
Let him alone for a few moments, then go to him, Mrs. Lathrop.
Thank you very much, Mr. Paladin.
Oh.
Terry.
terribly sorry.
Mm, it's quite all right. It's entirely my fault.
Oh, on the contrary, I wasn't looking where I was going.
We could debate the matter if you'd care to join me for a cup of coffee. Now, my name is Paladin.
I shan't forget your gallantry or your intriguing invitation, Mr. Paladin, but I must hurry along. Good day.
Good day. We will meet again.
Of course we shall.
Oh, Mr. Paladin, when you come back to San Francisco?
Last night, hey boy. You're just the one I want to see.
Oh, then why don't you look at me?
That lady just going up the stairs. When did she come to San Francisco?
Oh, maybe 4 days ago.
She's in what suite?
Mezzanine suite. But
well, I'll want theater tickets for tonight's performance.
Mr. Paladin.
And after you get those, see the chef now. A small supper, something very special, with wine for two people, served in my suite.
You better make it three, Mr. Paladin. Now.
Why?
Him.
Who?
Big man over there. He her husband.
Husband?
Husband. He's a bad turn of events, eh, Mr. Paladin?
Well, I hope he appreciates her. Never mind the tickets, hey boy. But have the chef lay on a supper for two anyway.
Well, what do you do? Who you have dinner with?
I don't know. Don't you ever get hungry?
Me?
Why not?
Me?
We don't have much time to talk like we used to.
It's true, but me? Supper?
And you can tell me about that remarkable man, your uncle.
Shall we say, 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock will be fine.
Since spring is a season of awakening things, of summer's fulfillment, it's fitting that every year the American Cancer Society should raise its vitally needed funds in April. For each year, the April harvest of donations gives promise of new impetus in the drive to conquer cancer. Your local collection, under the banner of the American Cancer Society, is a drive to finance unlimited research and experiment. Progress already made has given hardworking doctors and scientists more hope than ever before. No panaceas have been found, but a growing number of cancers can be and are being cured. Thousands live today who would have seen no hint of hope a decade ago. Help spread the effectiveness of the anti-cancer crusade in two ways, with a checkup and a check. Have the family's health checked once a year, for early detection of cancer is still the safest road to a cure. And this month, give a generous donation to your local cancer society or to Cancer in care of your post office. Do it today. Gun Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars John Daner as Paladin with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Michael Fessier and adapted for radio by John Dawson. Featured in the cast were Jack Moyles, Lawrence Dopkin, Virginia Gregg, Eve McVeigh, Lillian Bayef, and Frank Gerstle. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
There you have it. That's Have Gun, Will Travel from April 12th, 1959. With the Colonel and the Lady, John Daner starring in that. Great cast of supporting characters. And that was heard on CBS. Bunch of different sponsors. You know, by the late 40s, early 50s, and this was a late 50s show, there was usually more than one sponsor. You know, it's like on television, you watch TV, there's 20 different sponsors. Well, radio did the same thing towards the end. You know, this had Pepsi and a bunch of other sponsors on it. Good show. And I always liked the concept of Paladin, because here was this soldier of fortune. He was fast with a gun. He was great with his fists. He was smart, you know, was educated at West Point. And people in the old West, they needed help. You know, someone stole their cattle or this or that. You know, where are they going to go? You know, they go to the sheriff. Sheriff would be like, hey, I'm busy. I'm overloaded with stuff. So they would go to a hired gun.
They had taken into their Paladin. Own hands.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if that happened in real life. Probably. But this was all about this guy who was a good guy, Paladin, dressed all in black. And he would go out on the plains and for $1,000 or steep prices. He would charge a lot of money. But people would pay it because maybe somebody was kidnapped or whatever the case may be. And every single episode in the TV series and in the radio series, interesting, written by great writers. And the other really cool thing about this, there was a guy named Harry Julian Fink, okay? He was a writer on this series. Harry Julian Fink wrote a lot of these episodes. And he's sort of credited with creating the character of Dirty Harry. So you had Gene Roddenberry. He wrote 24 episodes. He then went on to create Star Trek. You had a lot of great writers on this series. So they found terrific people, and that's why the stories were so good. And it was always a top 10 show, and it airs on MeTV and Antenna TV. And I always enjoy it when it's on. I know you're not a big Western fan, but maybe how about your dad?
Yeah,
he likes the Westerns.
He sure does.
Well, Have Gun, Will Travel was one of the best.